Did you see that happen last night? The pivot.
Welcome to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you on this prime, a little bit warm, but prime Friday as we head off into the weekend. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And by we, I mean Aubrey Kahn, host of Talk to the Expert show. He'll be here live tomorrow afternoon. No, I'm sorry. That's right. You're going to be out of town tomorrow, so you got to run a...
We're running a pre-recorded, yes.
All right. So there you go. So, but anyway, it's still going to be a very informative show, so tune that in. And that's from 1 to 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Also, we have in the studio with us today, live over here from the Hive, that'd be B. Brian Blair.
Oh, yes, sir, Brother Chris. Good to be here with you and Aubrey.
Hey, you're looking good, man. Look like you're ready to hop in a ring somewhere.
I feel good.
You know?
I feel good, man. I feel, I don't have a lack of energy. I'm a high energy guy. I feel like Donald Trump.
I noticed you got up and down the stairs here a lot easier this time than the last time you were here. Remember that?
Yeah, I had just had knee surgery.
But he was a man of his word. He had said he was going to come over here and be on the show. He drove himself over here with ice pack on your knee, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
And did the show with us. Managed to get up the stairs. Then down the stairs, and it's quite a flight. And then we went down, and we had dinner, and he had to put his foot up on a chair and put ice on his knee. Had to bring ice from the kitchen from Cafe Positano.
Oh yeah.
But hey, you're in a lot better shape tonight. But we are going to have a big dinner tonight too, right?
Looking forward to it. You told me who won
Marilyn
guessed who was going to be the VP.
That's right. She picked Mike Pence. And, of course, he did end up being Trump's VP choice. I think a pretty good one at that. And so she is going to be sharing dinner with the Killer Bee and me and Aubrey and a whole host of other folks from the American Adversaries team. It's going to be a lot of fun. She's bringing her sister and friend, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's great. Marilyn, I'm going to have to ask her to predict my future.
There you go. All right. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. Of course, you are welcome to join us. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, and the phone number is still the 407-774-8255. So if you want to participate in tonight's show, please feel free to do so. You know, we got another wrestler who's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. That is, if we can keep these two guys from breaking out into fireman carries or something around here, right? And both these gentlemen have WWE experience. And that's Alex Porteau, and he's going to be on the show here in the second hour. So we're looking forward to a big and a fun show today. So please feel free to join in. And like I said, we're here and we are live. All right, we've got a lot to talk about in the news overnight and actually happening breaking today. Brian, you just mentioned Donald Trump. You know, today there was another big change in his campaign, in his evolving campaign, I'll call it. And Paul Manafort resigned. And there's a couple of reasons why he was becoming a bit of a target himself. He was a lobbyist for a number of years. This guy's been in and out of politics for a long time. He worked on campaigns back in the 80s, and then he became a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., and evidently the lobbying firm that he worked for did some business with some people in the Ukraine who are pro-Russian people. You have to understand, there are actually a lot of people in the Ukraine that would prefer the Ukraine be a part of Russia, if you will. And that's part of the problem over there, is that not everybody doesn't want the Russians in there.
It's kind of like a Brexit situation.
It kind of is, yeah. You have these two opposing forces in the society, and the West is actually trying to prevent it from breaking out into an all-out civil war.
Exactly.
And which is what it kind of was getting to be there for a little while, until basically they gave up Crimea. And so for that reason, and I think the reason that he kind of had served his purpose in a sense that he was the man who came in and got Trump across the finish line in terms of the primary and getting the nomination, lining up all the delegates, you know, making sure that he won on the first ballot and there was no contested thing or anything. But then his influence began to wane. And there did seem to be some disorganization in the Trump campaign and was manifested in Trump himself. And so brought in Conway, this woman Conway, and Bannon. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be now the top dogs. And I think for those two reasons, primarily, Manafort decided that it was best that he part ways with the Donald at this time. The reverse of parting ways, of course, is when someone is greeted, like we're fixing to greet the good Dr. K here himself, Dr. Ken Vieck. How you be tonight? Look at that shirt.
Look at that. Isn't that nice? Yes. Nice and loud?
Yeah. You look like you're going out to dinner somewhere.
Well, we just might be. I heard there's a rumor about that. So I thought, you know, me and free food, especially at Cafe Positano.
Yeah, we know you and free food.
That's right. You buying again?
Am I buying for you? No. Free food for you, my man.
Listen to that guy.
That's what friends are for. I got to tell you.
Yeah, we got to teach you to stand on your own two feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, at this late in my life, you want to do that?
You know, are you tired of your wife supporting you?
Oh, jeez. Actually, no.
Watch out. I don't think you and B. Bryant have ever met face to face.
We have never met.
How you doing, Dr. K?
Pleasure. Oh,
it's
so good. Look
like you just came from a luau, actually.
I feel like it, you know? It's like I'm looking forward to
Hawaiian
going there.
I like that
shirt.
Well,
it's Hawaiian Shirt Friday. That's kind of something I like to do around here.
That's very cheerful.
You know, Jeff's wearing one. Nick, every once in a while, will surprise us with a Hawaiian shirt. But we have competitions around Christmas time, too.
Oh, yeah.
See who has the brightest and the loudest one.
I've got
you'll notice with
nice
Nick, his Hawaiian shirts are all Disney logos.
Oh, yeah. This is true, because he's in those Disney runs and things like that.
That's right.
But that's good.
Suffers from Disney phobia.
I'm speechless because I just got to meet the man.
The man,
the myth, the legend.
The killer bee live from the hive. we're talking about Paul Manafort resigning today from the campaign. And it is now, the campaign is clearly in the hands of, is it Marianne Conway? What is her first name? I'll get it here in a second. I have to get my notes out during the break. Kellyanne. Thank you. Thank you very much. Kellyanne Conway, who worked actually on the Cruz campaign. She's an old hand herself. She knows what she's doing. She's a pollster. She's a messenger in the sense that she develops messages that work. And she, along with Steve Bannon, are now, I believe, going to, I think, get Trump across the finish line. Bannon brings that win at all costs, you know, don't leave anything on the,
table.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what you got to do when you're up against someone on the other side that'll do the same thing. Am I not right? Now, you encounter this in the wrestling ring, right?
Well, exactly. You're fighting. It's like fighting the referee and the opponent, because you've got the mainstream media totally in bed with Clinton, and you
I like the way you said that, in bed with Clinton.
Might get a little crowded in that bed.
Yeah, like, I heard they're both that way, but I don't.
There we go.
Anyway.
But you're absolutely right. It is. It's like fighting the referee and because really the media is supposed to be the referee.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've always said, if you want the media to do their job, elect Republicans. Right? They will actually scrutinize Republicans like they're supposed to. The problem is, they don't do that with Democrats. They cover up for Democrats.
I've lived through it and watched it and breathed it and, you know, watched it, how it affected my children, my family. I mean, a lot of people don't understand what a conservative politician goes through to run a race. It can be brutal.
And Brian knows firsthand because he was county commissioner in Hillsborough County. Now, for a lot of you that don't understand Florida politics, it sort of all originates in Hillsborough County or Dade County down there, right? I mean, that's where the two powerhouses of politics in this state are. Correct. And so the politics are played very hardball, bare knuckle in those areas. Not that it isn't anywhere else, but especially there.
Well, Hillsborough County has more people in it than seven other states. So you can imagine, and I was countywide, so it would be like running for governor of seven other states. And the county commission is the top of the heap. You got three municipalities, Tampa, Plant City, Temple Terrace, but the county commission is the end all
for everything. And so it's bare knuckles. And if you're not willing to get bare knuckled, you're probably going to get knocked upside the head and defeated.
That's right.
And I think that was the problem with both McCain and Romney. McCain went out of his way to be the genteel candidate, especially towards Barack Obama. The one most famous incident is the little old lady who stood up. Do you remember this? In a town hall meeting, this little old lady stands up and starts going on. I think your opponent is a Muslim. And she started going off. Mm-hmm. And he grabs the mic from her and says, oh, no, ma'am, I know him. He's a good family man. And
oh.
I mean, it's one thing.
Blown opportunity.
You don't necessarily have, exactly. I mean, it's one thing you don't necessarily have to say, yeah, I think he's a Muslim too, but you don't have to be your opponent's
cheerleader.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
And completely come to his defense when a whole lot of people still to this day believe what that woman believes. And that's president is actually a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's ever actually dealt with that. And because we had to, you know, it was hands off, couldn't do it. Well, look who won.
Look at his cabinet.
And then Romney, same thing. You know, Barack and them beat him all up, but it's this reluctance again, mm-hmm. you know, for, I guess, is it a lack of killer instinct? Is that what it is?
Well, it actually is. They're willing to go so far, but when you get to that final end game of the campaign, the last few candidates we've had just haven't had the wherewithal to finish the job.
Well, they also have had people saying, if you do that, then you're racist, and you're sexist, you're homophobic.
Well, see, that's just
of it.
Okay.
And they suck it all up. And they back off because
they
don't want
the race.
To be called names.
And they lose the race.
Right.
What they do is...
If you stick to your convictions, if you stick to your core beliefs, that's what leaders do.
Exactly.
You stand up, you be a man.
Right. Well, what it is they buy into those accusations.
Sure.
You see, they
give credence to them at least.
Right, exactly. And they suffer from white guilt or whatever, right? They buy into it. And you say, give it credence, and therefore they back down to it.
And you have too many uninformed voters that really don't, they only see the surface.
Yeah,
and what they hear primarily is ABC, CBS, CNN,
right.
NBC, and they get a little surface news when they're watching Jeopardy or whatever. And that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm. That's 43% of the Democrat Party because they're all on welfare.
Life is just a soundbite away.
Yeah, soundbite away. But see, that's where they're up against something different this time, right? Because this guy understands the soundbite. He now has, you know, encircled himself with people who understand how to message quite effectively, if you will. By the way, they've made their first ad buy, and it's four or five of the battleground states. So you're going to start seeing Donald Trump ads on the TV here pretty soon. This weekend or early next week, they'll start running here locally. And this is just the first, and they're going to start barraging the key states with ads, and these will be the first one I hear. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's an excellent ad, and I predict that with Steve Bannon along, these are going to be hard hitting
ads,
powerful ads.
Yeah, well, he's Breitbart. Yeah, they will be good ads.
Oh yeah, and they will be going for the jugular. How do you say that?
Jugular.
That's right.
Yep.
All right,
440,000 per market. I mean 440. Yeah, million. No, 440,000. Excuse me,
dollars per market.
Per market.
Per TV market.
Yeah. Wow.
And so the TV markets are like in Florida. I think you have top five TV markets. Mm-hmm. Four or five. You have the West Coast over there, the Tampa market. You have the Central Florida market. You have the South Florida market, and I think it's Northeast and Northwest.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
So that's a lot of ads that are going to be running. And believe you me, the Trump train is back on track.
Well, as I said last time, it's going to start now because nobody really starts paying attention to any of these races till after Labor Day.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know.
They start gearing it up now, and that's good.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the other day, but I credited you on the other day on the show because I heard some talking head on Fox or somewhere say, you know, the event that's going to decide this election hasn't happened yet. And I go, where did I hear
that from?
Yeah. Dr. K, right here last week on the American Adversaries.
It's the way psychology works.
Once again, the adversaries being echoed by the other voices out there.
Yeah. All right, who knew we were show prep?
Who knew? That's right. We now know. 407-774-8255 is the number. We are going to take a break and come back with more of the show. So please don't go away. I know it's Friday, but stick with us a little while. All righty, on the road again, heading home. Glad you're taking us with you, or wherever you're at. Thanks for having us with you. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live. All right, we were talking about Manafort out. Okay, that's done. It's now Bannon's and Kellyanne Conway's campaign to run. Donald Trump's to win. And Trump today, once again, you know, as I said at the top of the show, did you see it last night? The pivot when he actually sort of apologized.
It was a great way he did it.
I think so. He said he showed some remorse. He said, in the heat of battle, basically, sometimes you do things that you regret, and I have done those things, and I regret them. And is that an apology, Dr. K, from a psychologist's point of view?
It's a plausible apology. Let's put it that way.
But
for the people that are looking for one, it is.
He's demonstrating remorse, though, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And,
so,
and the body language indicates that he was remorseful.
Yep.
Everything about him said that what his body was matching his words.
Right.
Which is how you can tell somebody's telling the truth.
Now, here's an interesting thing. You know, sure. In the morning when I wake up, I turn on MSNBC and CNN. I don't drink coffee, so that's what gets my blood going. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, MSNBC, ever since they helped get Donald Trump the nomination, because they had some pretty complimentary coverage, and whenever he wanted to, he could call in and be on MSNBC in the morning, right? With, you know, the morning jokesters.
Yeah.
And so, but ever since he became the nominee, even before the convention, it was just totally the opposite. And nothing this man could do was right. Mm-hmm. The last few weeks, the campaign is over. The last 2 weeks especially, they've been pleading with other Republicans to distance themselves from Donald Trump, or it's going to be a catastrophe. They're going to lose the House. They're going to lose the Senate. They're going to lose up and down the ballot. And all of this negative stuff, and however he's a racist and a bigot and all that. After last night, of course, I turn on this morning, and there's the morning jokesters again. And here they are saying, now that's more like the Donald Trump we know. You get the disconnect here? Because most of these guys do know him private.
Right.
Okay,
right.
They've met him a number of times. They're in New York. They see him at places. They talk to his friends. They talk to people. After last night, lo and behold, here they say, that's more like the real Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
After all this time trashing the man, lo and behold, now they are going to tell us that, no, everything they've been saying is wrong. He really is a pretty humble, nice guy.
Wow. Yep.
That's a little.
Now, obviously, I'm sure that was a slip of the tongue, and they probably won't be doing it Monday morning, but it was him. It was Donnie Deutsch and these others who claim to know Donald Trump and have personal knowledge of him. This is more the real guy. Right? Now, then they turn around and say, but now that he's said these things in the campaign, it makes you wonder. You see, but the point...
they've got to set themselves up as an authority on both sides of the coin.
Makes sense. Right. Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. Kind of like announcers.
So now they can talk about him from this side.
Yeah. Kind of like announcers in wrestling, right?
Exactly.
Hey, we got more managers. Because I remember Jimmy Hart is still one of my favorite managers.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He could play both sides of the fence.
The mouth of the South.
In a heartbeat. Yeah. He could switch. I swear he was sociopathic. Let's he can pull that motion out, put it back in. I mean, it's awesome to watch.
Let's go to Rena. She's on the line right now. Rena, thank you for calling the show tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you. I listen to your show pretty much every day, but I'm usually driving, so never had a chance to call.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you listening.
And I wanted to, before I say what I needed to say, I wanted to also say that everybody, when they talk about how Trump is different and he needs to be so presidential, he's a business person. And, you know, you and not only just even as a business person, any person, if you're you should be able to adapt to the circumstances and where you are. With friends, we are so different. With in public, we are so different. So we always have to adapt to that. So I don't think he's really any different. I'm sure he has an empire, what he has built. So he didn't build his empire just by being stupid.
That's
so
for sure.
He knows how to deal with the people. So he is obviously the person we really need in this country to take care of what is going on. I am from India, and I lived in England, and I've seen the tragedy happen to England, really to the West, how how it has changed. It is not England anymore. Every time I go and visit, it's just bizarre what is going on
right.
in Europe. But anyways, the reason I was calling, that I was a poll watcher at Mitt Romney's campaign.
Yes.
3 years ago, 4 years back. And it was Seminole County, which is pretty conservative county, actually. And I voted pretty much in the same precinct for last 20, 25 years.
Okay.
And it was always pretty much you go in and you vote and then you come out and stuff. But this time, the time when Romney election happened, there were hundreds of people coming in with some paper. They were not registered. They were not on the book. And
right.
they were trying to register and have them vote at the same time.
Right.
So we were assigned as poll watchers, but we were not let near by anyone. We were told not to be nearby. You need to stand away and basically watch.
Yeah.
And it was very protected. And I tried to contact the campaign, which I was very unsuccessful.
Yeah.
But I think they knew by that time. It was between 4 and 6 when I did the poll watching. So I'm just hoping that as Steve Moore and other people come to your radio station, that if you can get out that word.
All right. And we're back. That's right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Let's see. Let me go around the table and introduce everybody again. We got the Killer Bee himself over here live from the Hive, B. Brian Blair.
Yes, sir.
We got Dr. K, Dr. Ken Vihek. It's Friday. Dr. K is here today.
Yes, I am.
Aubrey Kahn has stopped by. It's not Sunday, but he's here anyway.
I'm just letting off steam.
Good place to do it.
Been a good week, huh?
That's right. I'm Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Just a couple more things about Trump, and then I want to talk about the present administration and the wannabe lady. The prior caller was pointing out that Trump didn't get to be where he is, first of all, by being dumb, but also that he's adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
That he can adapt to challenging situations, say. And I want to ask both you and Dr. K. Brian, you were in politics. I mean, especially in the election season, everything happens at fast speed, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's like your days are just jammed with, and you don't know where the time is going, right?
Correct. I mean, it's hard to sleep. doing so much.
But everything is constantly changing, and challenges coming at you from all directions.
Oh yeah, you're on a big emotional roller coaster. You know, you're up in the polls, you're down in the polls, or you know, when you're really polling an expensive race,
right? And, you know, Trump's been having to deal with this. I mean, nobody I can remember in recent memory has had to endure the barrage of negative press, whether he's brought it on himself or not, but that he's been getting it these past few weeks. And yet he seems determined to still push through and come up with the right combination to win this thing.
Yeah. I think there is a certain part of him that actually feeds and gets energy off of that. You know, as most performers do, they get energy from the crowd that they're surrounded by, Well, B, you know, you got a full house. It's easier to go in there and put on a good show than if you've got maybe, you know, a half a house or a third of a house.
Absolutely.
You know, so, and the more that they pick on him, the more he kind of gets that drive to, you know, to finish the job, to complete it, to give him the energy to continue to go through. And I've seen a lot of performers, and I've worked with a number that need that. You know, that just that little bit to keep them going.
Well, you know, and you pointed at B. Brian, and knowing that he would understand, this is one of the reason why I say politics like professional wrestling, because professional wrestling really does feed off of the crowd. There's definitely that interplay that's a part of the whole event, is it not?
Absolutely. You run on emotion, and you act on emotion also. I mean, the wrestling moves that you see, you know, of course. You know, it was like in the ring, we'd call it in the ring based on the crowd. We didn't have everything all scripted as quite as it is now. I mean, we'd go in and know what the ending was, but everything else we'd call in the ring based on the emotion of the crowd. Yep. And Donald Trump is kind of like that. He feeds off, like, exactly what you're saying. He feeds off that crowd frenzy.
And I think he understands the dynamic at play there at some level.
Yeah, and like any other sport, in the levels of politics, remember, he's never been a politician, but he has been a businessman.
And he's been around politics.
He's had to work his way up. He understands the, you know, workings from the periphery. Now he's smack dab in the middle of it, and all of a sudden he's gotten a real quick education on how it works. And I think what we've seen in this last week is his adaptation and accommodation of understanding how it works and beginning to play in those waters as well as he can play in them.
You've diagnosed Hillary Clinton's body language before.
Sure.
You've done his a little while ago. What would you say in general about his body language as you see him out doing rallies, and more importantly, when you see him meeting, like today, he was in Louisiana at Baton Rouge?
Well, I think what you see from him, aside from his compassion and his desire to help people and help, you know, help them establish themselves, not just by giving them handouts, but he presents himself as very genuine. No matter where he's at, what he's talking about, he would look just as comfortable in the business suit that he is and wears as he would in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt lugging supplies out of a truck, and you could actually go, that fits. Where some people you'd see him do that. It was like when Dukakis got inside the tank,
right.
Yeah, that was so out of character. Everybody just went, "Oh my God, he just lost the election."
Right.
Okay. But with Trump, he can blend, and he does it in an effective, genuine way. It's not like he's trying to pull one over. Not like Clinton, who was really good at it, but he didn't mean any of it.
Right. Yeah.
You know. So there's a difference. But if you look at his body language, it matches what he's saying, and that's the important thing. The body will give off so many different cues if somebody's lying.
Right.
You know. When he does it, when he talks, and when he backs it up with his actions, the actions don't dissuade you from what he said.
Yes. Kellyanne Conway has been making that point. You know, they've been saying, is he pivoting? Did he pivot this week? And she's still making appearances on the Talking Head shows. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, he's not pivoting. We're focusing his message. But he's still who he is. We've decided that he has to, you know, he has to be authentic.
Yeah.
If he's not authentic, people will pick up on it and they will know it. And see, that was, I think, the problem with, say, Manafort and that more standard campaign style, that they wanted Trump to be, if you will, a Romney. Okay, somebody who can stick to the script and not say anything that could be misconstrued or construed as being mean or something like that. And this stuff with Trump's got to be, I've got to be myself. In other words, he's saying, this campaign, I can't be something that I'm not. Now, I can say, I can talk a refined, focused message, but it's still got to be me, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And that still is just coming through.
Right. And when he talks about something, let's just take this last week, for instance. You know, when Hillary talked about the Olympic athletes who won gold medals, Simone Biles.
Yeah, she got the name.
And Michael Phelps.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. She don't even know who these people are.
Right.
And yet she's out there using their names in her campaigns to try to attach herself and make herself look like she's vested in our Olympic athletes.
Right, right.
You know, and when Donald Trump does it, it just flows, and you know that he knows who these people are, and he probably has in some way, shape, or form supported the Olympic team. mm-hmm. you know, to help them get to where they are.
Right, right.
You know, so those are the kind of things that you can look for and see in the individual candidates as to whether it's natural or not.
Yeah. Donald Trump, as I said earlier, both he and Mike Pence spent about 3 hours or so in Louisiana today in Baton Rouge, touring around, seeing the devastation down there, the flooding. And it is devastating. And there are, I think, 80,000 people who have had to leave their homes. 30,000 people had to be rescued and taken out in little boats and trucks and things. Very much reminiscent of Katrina.
Yeah.
And the devastation, as I said, is now it's in confined to Baton Rouge, but it's bad there. It's as bad there as it was in many places due to Katrina. At least 12 dead that they know of.
13. Right.
13 it is now. And that is most likely going to go up even higher.
But the media is applauding Obama because he's going to be there next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And how bad do they chastise Bush for not being there?
For being there after two or three days.
After 2 days.
That's a great point.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I was going to say Obama's probably off playing golf.
He still is.
Larry David, yeah. Yeah, but I was going to say with Brownie. Remember Brownie? He was the head of FEMA when Bush took all the heat from because he went down there and he said, Brownie, you're doing a good job or something like that. And actually, in Mississippi, FEMA and Brownie were doing an excellent job.
Yeah. They were.
Because the governor was a Republican governor, Haley Barbour, and he welcomed them in, unlike Blanco, the governor of Louisiana, who did not allow the federal agencies in for a week.
That's something that the general populace doesn't understand about the way our nation is set up with the federal government and the state government. The federal government just can't come into a state. They have to be requested to come in by the governor, and the governor at that time wouldn't do it for Louisiana.
No, she would not.
She would not say, okay, I need your help.
Yeah,
even though he had been calling her saying, we got to get there. You got to give us permission to come in.
As a matter of fact, he was calling her before Katrina hit land, saying, you're going to get it. You're going to get it bad. What can we do? If you want, I'll sign the emergency orders right now. Oh, no, thank you. No, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
And she
playing politics with other people's lives.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And if you remember, there was, I think it was 4 or 5 days in, finally, Bush flew to New Orleans on Air Force One. They actually picked up Ray Nagin, met him at the airport, the mayor of New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's right. Remember? He ended up going to jail later on.
Yeah.
He was there at the airport. Bush took him on the airplane, asked him what he needed, and he said, right now, I need a shower. And Bush said, okay. And they showed him the shower. They let him shower on Air Force One, got him some clean clothes, and got him. And they were waiting for, I think it was Blanco, the governor of Louisiana, to get her butt there.
Yep.
And he had the papers ready to sign, right? And she gets there, and she goes, well, okay, thank you. I'm going to take these with me and have my legal team review them, and we'll get back to you.
Wow.
You know, while the suffering was continuing.
Yeah.
And, of course, they did that on purpose because Bush was taking all the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And to this day,
he's still getting blamed.
Yep. Absolutely.
But he's still getting blamed for everything.
Well, exactly. And that's part of his fault because he never really defended himself very effectively either. Like I said, in politics, it's bare-knuckle stuff.
Well, he should have run for that third term.
That's right. Now, Hillary Clinton now today. Now, we know where Barack Obama was. He was playing golf and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, Hillary Clinton today is taking the day off.
Okay.
And she's taking tomorrow off and Sunday too.
Right. She did make a phone call.
But she did. That's right.
Yeah,
she called the governor of Louisiana to express her concern. And this is, by the way, the third 3-day weekend this month
that she's taking
for Hillary Clinton. In other words, every weekend this month has been a 3-day weekend for Hillary Clinton. Does that sound to you like someone who's running for office?
No, absolutely not. No,
that sounds like somebody who already has the office, because isn't that what the Clinton administration used to do?
The stress of campaigning is just such a burden.
Well, it really is, Aubrey, but the thing is, I don't think she's physically up for it.
Yeah. That's the
she's
point.
Not physically, she's not mentally, she's not emotionally.
Well, and kind of all that's tied up in the one thing that we were talking about on the show the other night that I want to get your opinion of, Dr. K, because we had a doctor on the show the other night, an anesthesiologist, 36 years, retired from Florida Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we made the case that Hillary Clinton has Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
Sound plausible?
Sounds plausible.
And that some of her symptoms are due to the drug that she's taking, L-dopamine.
L-dopamine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sound plausible?
Yeah, could be. Especially after the incident of her blacking out and the head injury she had, it could have brought it on if it was dormant.
There's several pictures of her, too, being escorted upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we were
having to be, you know,
and she doesn't like to be touched.
No, yeah. But I'd like to see another picture of her being escorted, not
yeah.
upstairs.
All right, okay, yeah. Yeah, into jail. But the point here is that, as Brian was just saying, she may not have the physical capability of being president.
She may not have the stamina.
That's yeah.
I mean, in that job, look, I mean, my parents had a coffee table book by Norman Rockwell that had pictures of the, like, four of the different presidents before they took office and after they took office. And the change in that four-year period of them is just incredible. The job is so draining and so demanding. I mean, look at a BHO
Obama.
There. You know, I mean, you know, he's now almost completely gray.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's only 55.
He was a young man when he took the office, right?
Yeah, he's 55, too. Just turned 55.
Yeah, so
he is completely gray. I've seen him.
And this is just such a draining position. If you don't have the wherewithal to do this, if you don't have that stamina, that energy, you know, because you have to get up every morning with the understanding that your job is to make sure that America is safe and secure every day. And that's huge. That's why you have to have those meetings. That's why you have to be in touch with everything. And you don't sleep a lot. You know? So, I don't know. It's quite possible that she just doesn't have the physical stamina to do this.
All right.
Besides being a liar and a crook.
Yeah, on top of all that other stuff.
I may have gotten the governor wrong. We'll double check on this. But Nostradamus says it was Governor Mary Landrieu.
Yeah, Mary Landrieu.
Mary Landrieu. I thought it was blank. Blanco.
No, Mary Landrieu.
Where am I getting the Blanco thing?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Drawing a blank.
Yeah. Anyway, Mary Landrieu was the governor of Louisiana at the time of Katrina and prevented the federal government. As a matter of fact, she... Not only did she prevent the federal government from coming in there, but she had the state troopers block Walmart and other...
All the supply trucks.
From coming into the state with water and food and whatever.
Unbelievable.
You know, and I got to tell you, early on in my Navy career, I was stationed up in Connecticut, and we're talking 79, 80 time frame, and they had a flood in Connecticut while the governor was on vacation in the Bahamas, okay? And she flew back. Ella Grasso was her name, and she was a Democratic governor. But I learned so much about somebody who cared about the people because she flew back that night.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day you see her, you know, in basically hip waders going through and putting blankets around people and telling them that, you know, we're here to do what we can. You know, she brought the federal government in. It was just amazing. That's leadership.
Yeah. And we saw a bit of that today with Donald Trump and Mike Pence in Baton Rouge while the president played golf,
mm-hmm.
right? All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we got another segment of this hour of the show. Then, of course, we've got a whole another hour to go. And thank you for being with us. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, give us a call, 407-774-8255. When we come back, we're going to talk about leverage or ransom. We'll see when we get back. Hey, B. Brian, you recognize that intro music? Lanny Poffo?
Oh, is that... Honestly, I didn't.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for being with us tonight. Once again, 407-774-8255. By the way, Nostra Dentist also just notified me that Blanco succeeded Mary Ann Landrieu. All right, so it was Landrieu, Blanco, then Jindal.
Then jail.
And, yeah, that's right. That was for the good mayor.
There you go. Fill in the Blancos.
Right. Okay. Before we go talking about leverage, let's go to the phone lines because Billy wants to talk about Trump's health. Billy, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, just based on what I've seen with the debates, Donald Trump, 70 years old, or going to be 70, he's kind of overweight, kind of pale and pasty looking. He looked during the debates that he could be rattled. I think he takes things personally, and if under pressure, I could actually see him having a heart attack. So I hope Mr. Pence is a fit guy. As far as his intelligence, I think Donald Trump knows a little about everything. I don't think you're going to hear about the cosmological argument, the ontological argument from Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
I think he knows a little bit about everything. But as far as his fitness, I'm afraid to say it. I think he could be rattled. I think the pressure would get to him, and he could be subject to a heart attack.
All right, well, don't go away. I want the doctor Dr. K to respond to that. Now, he's a psychologist, but he knows something about stress and the effects of it, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. But in terms of the well, go ahead and respond to that, and
sure.
Then I'll follow up.
And I would like to counter that with saying, well, you know, he runs corporations that are worth billions and billions of dollars on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And the stress that he incurs there, yeah, nobody gets in his face because he's the CEO there as much as he's getting it now. So he's getting a little bit of a workout. There might be a little bit of a cause for concern, but I really would doubt that. He deals with stress on a regular basis. He has how many people's employees' lives in his hands that he deals with, that he holds, you know, near and dear, as he says, you know? So the concerns are there. But as far as being rattled, okay, for a TV show or for a debate for an hour or so, I think he's going to be well prepared for that by the time they come around. So, like I said, he just started his political growth. He's just adapting. And I think you'll probably see a different person, Billy. So I wouldn't – if I saw that type of reaction on the first debate, I'd be concerned. But I don't think we're going to see it. But it is something to be aware of.
All right. Speaking of debates, an announcement was made today that the Trump and Clinton campaigns have agreed to the first forum, which,
yep,
I presume they mean debate, will be September the 7th. And it will be about veterans and foreign policy, veterans affairs and foreign policy, supposedly. It's sometimes hard for these moderators,
yeah,
to stick to
topic.
Can
we get Chris Peronto to be one of the moderators?
Oh, that would be choice, wouldn't it? But now, so that makes September 7th an even bigger night,
yeah,
for American Adversaries fans, right?
Yeah.
Because we are going to be celebrating our six-year birthday anniversary, whatever you want to call it. We went on the air September 5th. That'd be Nostradamus, Lair Adams, and myself with Jeff Sinis producing the show. We went on the air September 5th, 2010. So that's Labor Day weekend. So what we did was we're going to have a little party at Cafe Positano on September the 7th. That's the Wednesday after Labor Day. Everyone's invited. We're going to do a live remote broadcast there. We're going to have another one of our famous eating contests. This will be another, like our second annual spaghetti eating contest. Aubrey's working out for that one, getting ready for it. And there's going to be, the whole American Adversaries crew is going to be there. And you're all invited to come on out. So we're going to be doing that 5 to 7. And then we're going to have some raffles and other prizes and things going on. And then everybody can head home and catch the first big debate. So we'll be looking forward to that. And I'm not they called this a forum. I'm not sure that it is an official debate. I thought the debates actually started much later in the month. But we'll double check on that. But the announcement was made today. They're doing something on September the 7th.
There's only going to be three debates.
Three official debates.
All right.
But that'll
all depend on the outcome of the first. Because if Hillary gets her butt whipped, that you can count on the Democrats canceling the remainder.
Well, we'll see. I highly...
Because every time she opens her mouth, her ratings go down.
But she does seem to feel comfortable in a debate setting. I mean, when she was debating Bernie Sanders...
Well, if you were wearing a muumuu, you'd also feel comfortable.
The point I'm trying to make here is the media is going to make sure that what you're talking about doesn't happen. All right, if she gets rattled in some fashion, it'll have to be up to Donald Trump to do it. And they're going to make it as difficult on him as possible to do just that.
So we'll see. He has that ability.
Yeah, but it was my understanding that the debates were much later in the season, the election season, and two of them were up against football games. So.
Google it.
Yeah, well, we're doing that right now. we're doing that right now. So we'll get that answer by the time we come back. But anyway, nonetheless, you all are invited to that on September the 7th. We'd love to see you. And by the way, if you'd like to make reservations at Cafe Positano for that event or any other night or day event for that matter, be it just you or a pair of you or the big party of you, you can do that by calling them at 407-774-8080. That's Cafe Positano, 407-774-8080, and that's what we'll be treating. We'll be treating Marilyn, who won the contest that you came up with, who was going to be Donald Trump's running mate.
She did a great job.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I mean, the last caller mentioned, Billy mentioned that he hopes that Mike Pence is in good shape.
Yeah.
Well, I think he is. Yeah. And yeah. He's, I mean, whether or not Trump wins, and of course I hope he does, but whether or not he does, I think Pence is in a pretty good position to be the next Republican nominee. We'll see how things play out. But
I just don't see how Donald Trump, when you look at the social media, when you look at the way he was during, he's acted, talked, spoke, being so presidential this past week, how in the world could anybody vote for Hillary Clinton knowing that she's a third term of Barack Obama, and what's happened to this country, not just our debt doubling.
Well, I think Aubrey gave part of that answer a while ago. I mean, a big part of the Democratic Party are beholden to the government for their well-being. In other words, the food they eat and the place they sleep and the phone they talk on.
And the power for the AC and everything else.
Right. And then there's the other part of the Democratic Party actually thinks Barack Obama has done a good job.
Yeah, there are people out there that believe that.
Yeah.
I was golfing with one yesterday.
Well, yeah. They believe everything the media tells them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why Trump's fighting not just Hillary Clinton, and
a lot of
mainstream
them,
media.
A lot of them are a product of our public education system, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, this gentleman I was golfing with yesterday, he just retired.
Yep.
And I told him, I said, well, so that means you're on Medicare, right? He goes, yeah, I'm on Medicare now. I said, so when Obama leaves office, you realize that's when the majority of the plans for Obamacare kick in, and you're going to lose about $500 million worth of your benefits out of Medicare. I will not. Yeah, you will. It's there in writing. They're going to make the cuts.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen until he's out of office.
Right.
It was designed that way.
It was. I remember we talked about it when the bill first passed. And I think even Paul Ryan brought it up as part of the last campaign that they were robbing from Medicare to pay for Obamacare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they just sort of put it in the out year so nobody noticed it until it does actually happen, and then they're going to notice it.
Well, you know what's just as bad, if not worse?
What's that?
Obama took money from the VA so that he could support the Syrian refugees.
Yeah, now they're
wow.
B. Brian Blair just told us they're turning around suing us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's six of them.
Suing. Six Syrian refugees suing us.
Yeah,
for living conditions.
Here, huh?
For living, over living conditions. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Only in America, right? All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, we got another hour of the show to go. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries Drive Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll, on a honey.
Rolling right along into the second hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time. I'm the artist formerly known as Nostra Dennis. I'm just here for the free meal at the end of the show, that's all. And we are loaded with some of the best minds in America here. We got B. Brian Blair from the Killer Bees. The body, the mind, the whole package. We got Dr. Ken Viek. Well, he's got the mind.
Okay.
We got Aubrey Kahn. Love you, Aubrey. Love you. And then we got Christopher Hart.
the mouth of the South. All right. Where'd that guy come from? Master Dennis, good to see you back in the saddle. Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show if you're just now tuning us in. Thanks for being out there. We very, very much appreciate and thank you for that. 407-774-8255 is the number. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge, and keep that phone handy because we're getting ready to give something away here in just a second. But yeah, you got the lineup here, you got the phone number there. So yeah, let's go ahead and give a book away. You know, this week we've been giving away copies of Quiet Strength, the best-selling book by Tony Dungy, the former coach of course the Tampa Bay Bucks and then the Indianapolis Colts, and now member of the NFL Hall of Fame. His book, Quiet Strength, The Principles, Practices, and Priorities of a Winning Life, as I said, is a bestseller. It's an excellent book. It's a very inspirational book. It's a great book, you know, as I've said, for young people who are just sort of figuring out, you know, the decision-making process in life. And it's also a great book for someone who may be going through some trials or tribulations. And it's also just a great read for anybody. So if you want Quiet Strength by Tony Dungy, be the third phone caller right now at 407-774-8255, and a copy of that book is yours free. And it's Friday night. I'm feeling pretty good, so I'm even going to throw in a gift certificate to Tijuana Flats, a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats. You can use it as a bookmark until you use it to eat with it. All right, so you'll get the book and a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats if you're the third phone caller right now. Of course, if you want to be a part of the show, you're welcome to call in too. We've been talking about Donald Trump. We've been talking about Hillary Clinton. Before we move on, one more thing about Donald Trump, because there's been someone of us here at this table had an up close encounter with the Donald a number of years ago. Matter of fact, spewed bodily fluids all over him.
Oh, did you have to say it that way?
Oh boy, yeah. Actually,
well, fill in
everybody
the details.
Just moved away from him. You know that.
Fill in the details for us, Brian.
Well, we had a battle royal in Trump Tower. And I knew who heard of Donald Trump, but I didn't really know what he looked like. And all. I was more interested in Cyndi Lauper and the people that were
in the audience
there in the day. You know,
yeah, right. Just
we had all kinds of stars. But I got thrown over the top rope, and you're supposed to grab the top rope when you go over, and I missed it. And I went straight into the railing and busted my chin open. You can
see the scar.
You guys can see the scar here.
Yeah.
Well, blood started coming out, and I heard, I think that's real blood, Donald. And thinking to myself, no kidding. But anyway, that was Ivana Trump. And Donald got up and put his handkerchief right under my chin, walked me to the back.
Holding
the handkerchief under my chin and directing traffic and made sure I got into the, didn't let go until the ambulance guy got me.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty darn nice.
So Trump really wasn't talking about making Kelly about blood coming out, you know, everywhere. He was talking about you. He was having a flashback.
He had an experience, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was at WrestleMania
4.
WrestleMania 4.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. And of course, he and McMahon, I guess, have been good buddies for quite some time. Right?
Yeah. Trump's actually he was in one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah.
I forget which number.
He's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
He is indeed, yeah. And of course, they had that big match where they put their hair on the line. I forget the wrestlers, but each one of them had their own wrestler that competed in the ring, and the one that lost, well, that guy had to have his hair, you know, shaved. And of course McMahon lost. And they shaved his head right there in the ring too. That wasn't nothing fake about that. And
no, sir.
But you know, he does know. As I said, he has picked up. We've been saying this. Dennis will tell you, Nostra Dennis, that for 6 years since we started that first night, we've been likening the politics to professional wrestling.
Sure.
It has so many commonalities.
And now we hear people these days echoing that 6 years later. We knew this all along.
Yeah. That's right. By the way, congratulations to Frank for winning tonight's book and $10 card to Tijuana Flats. Good eating
right,
to you, Frank. Good reading and good eating. That's right. And the thing is that I think, you know, Democrats have always kind of known that because they understand that, you were talking a while ago, the emotional element of all of this. And they play very well off of people's emotions. Pretty much their whole argument for getting elected is based on an emotional appeal. And we see it over and over and over again. And the Republicans have always, we got the message, we got the plan, you know. And I even hear this with Trump. I wish he'd just stick with policy and stuff. And you can't. There has to be that emotional element in there. And I think that he understands this, perhaps from his working around wrestling.
Possibly. It's just it's something he picks up from business as well. You know, when you're in business, you've got to know how to be, how to act, how to walk, how to talk around a variety of people. And it's the same thing with wrestling. There's definitely a correlation.
All right. Before we went to the break, I was a little bit confused. And Nostradamus has the details on this event, September the 7th, a campaign event.
Yeah, well, what I've got is a list of all the actual debates that are going on.
And that's not one, is it?
This is not one of them. So this must be some kind of a town hall forum kind of thing that they put together at the last minute.
They did not call. By the way, I want to, real quick, yeah, they did not call it a debate. They called it a forum. Mm-hmm. And what they mean by that, I'm not exactly sure. Evidently, they won't both be facing off. Perhaps one will speak, and then the next one will come on and speak afterwards, basically answering the same questions.
Sometimes they have the people actually ask the questions at the forum.
Yeah, more of a town hall type setting.
Yeah, a quick rundown here. It's September 20th is the first actual presidential debate.
That's what I thought.
Hofstra University, Hempstead, New York, my stomping grounds on Long Island, was going to be at Wright State University in Ohio, but they withdrew because of budget issues. On Tuesday, October 4th, it's the first and only vice presidential debate, and that's going to be in Longwood. Longwood University, Farmville, Virginia.
I was going to say Longwood.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And Sunday the 9th, October 9th, is the second presidential debate in Washington, Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And the last one, this is going to be, Trump's going to have the home field advantage at this one, Wednesday the 19th of October, just a couple of weeks before the election, the last presidential debate. UNLV, Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here you go. So the presidential candidates will appear back-to-back in one-hour events.
Okay, that will be on September the 7th.
September the 7th. Okay. So they won't even be on the same stage together.
At the same time, right. Okay. All right. And UNLV, don't you know somebody goes to UNLV?
I just put somebody on a plane to UNLV on Wednesday. So, yeah, it might be a good excuse to go out there.
Yeah, that's right.
We get some of that TV or the radio money from Pete and fly out.
Yeah, he might put you on one of these little Cessnas. But, all right, so that's what's going on September the 7th. By the way, as I said a moment ago, Frank from Orlando won tonight's copy of Quiet Strength by Tony Dungy. And by the way, there's a great little video, if you'd like to watch it, by Tony Dungy at Dungy.com. CoachDungy.com, CoachDungy.com. But I also want to especially thank Frank because he gave $240 to the Haiti Relief Fund, the food drive that we've been doing around here of sorts, to raise money to get food into the mouths and stomachs of Haitians. 1 in 10 Haitians right now is suffering from malnutrition and starvation due to a severe drought down there and the lack of the Clinton Foundation coming through with all of the promises that they made to improve the situation down there. Now, the drought is not their fault. But what is their fault is that they didn't do what they promised to do, which put Haiti in an even weaker position to deal with the drought after the earthquake. And by the way, if you'd like to make a contribution too, we would very, very much appreciate that. You can do it a number of different ways. And by the way, that $240, let's say
4,000 meals.
4,000 meals. $60 provides 1,000 meals. $120 provides $240, 4,000 meals. You can kind of do it in those increments of $60. But if you can give any amount at all, small, large, medium, whatever, please do so. And you can do that one of three ways. You can dial #250 on your phone, and when it's answered, simply say Haiti, and then they'll take it from there. Or you can dial a live operator at 844-868-4673. That's 844-868-4673. or you can go to am660theanswer.com, am660theanswer.com, or if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM AM app into your phone or smart device, you can do that. Do it via that method as well. At any rate, thank you, Frank, and thank you others of you out there who have been giving. We really do appreciate it. And once again, if you can help out, please do so. Okay, we just have a few more minutes here before the break. This morning, the Obama administration was in full sort of damage control over this $400 million of ransom that we paid. And by the way, that $400 million was what we had been paid by the Shah of Iran before the revolution overthrew him and we had the hostage crisis and all of that.
Right.
So legally speaking and under international law, when the revolution overthrew that government and replaced it with their own, all the obligations and debts and everything from that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they had no real legal claim to that $400 million, although they did press it in the world court. And of course, you got a bunch of liberals in the world court who kept the suit alive. And, of course, Bush never paid off on it. Clinton never paid off on it. But Obama did. And that $400 million was the original purchase price of some military equipment, which we didn't deliver, which is why they claimed that they needed it back. But the real claim was for $1.7 billion. Do you realize what the other $1.3 billion was?
Interest.
Interest. Why are we even paying them interest on this?
Amazing.
Isn't it, though?
Amazing. No wonder our debts doubled under Obama.
Right. And there seems to be some confusion over whether that other $1.3 billion has already been paid. Some media outlets are reporting that it is yet to be paid. The Wall Street Journal is today reporting that it already has been paid, although they don't know how it was delivered.
Well, there's nothing about this administration that would surprise me with regards to that $1.3 billion.
Yeah, but where do you think that cash went? All that cash. Went to help
It went to ISIS.
Exactly.
Activities.
Palestinian, the PLO.
Not so much ISIS, because ISIS is, they're mostly Arabs and they're Sunni, and the Iranians are Persians and Shia.
Terrorists, I should say.
Exactly. They're select terrorist organizations, which are basically the ones in and around Israel.
The good terrorists.
Yeah, from their perspective.
The peace-loving terrorists, right?
Right, right. Well, today their explanation was this payment was not ransom. It was, quote-unquote, leverage.
Okay.
Make sure they release the prisoners.
Exactly.
So this is
yes.
A game of semantics we're playing. Gotcha. And why did they have to use it as leverage? Aren't Iran trustful? I mean, trustworthy? Isn't that the reason we made that nuclear deal with them?
Because
we can trust them explicitly?
Of course, they wouldn't renege on the deal,
so
would
why?
They?
Why would we need leverage?
But see, that was the whole point of the revelation yesterday, which brought this back into the news, is that the State Department obviously did not trust them, because the delivery of the cash was contingent on the release of the prisoners. And, of course, we also know on the other end that the release of the prisoners was contingent upon the delivery of the cash. Right. Now, that's some pretty good leverage that the Iranians used against us to get $400 million worth of ransom paid to them.
The world knows that we'll pay $100 million per American.
Well, pretty much.
That's why the Iranians have arrested another American already.
Yes.
No, two.
No, oh,
three.
Two.
No, I'm sorry, three. Since those four were released, they've arrested three more, and they never released Robert Levinson, the former FBI agent, who they claim they don't know where he is, but that's where he is in Iran. If he's not dead, he's in an Iranian prison.
Okay, so 1.2 trillion we still have to give them, right, or billion? 1.2 billion.
1.3.
Okay, so that means they can take another
100 million for this guy.
Another 13 Americans?
Unless the Wall Street Journal is correct and we've already given them that leverage. We've already given up our leverage.
Well, then it would be a deposit on the next lot.
I mean, they even had Oliver North on Fox, and he was saying, look, you know, when it comes to dealing with the Iranians, at least I outdid them. At least the Iranians paid us. If you remember, the Iranians did. They paid us.
And they
sent that money to the Contras. All right. Okay, we got to take another break. We're going to reshuffle the lineup a little bit here. When we get back, we got another wrestler coming in, and hopefully we can keep the peace in the studio here. All right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Got the Killer Bee over here live from the Hive. He's usually coming to us from Hillsborough County. All right, we'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Money, 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 money.
All right, we're back. We're the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, Prime Time, and we're going to bring in another Prime Time player right now. This man is also a professional wrestler. He's also grappled in the WWE world. His name is Alex Porto. Alex, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Everything's good. How are y'all?
Good to see you tonight. Thanks for being in with us.
Yes, sir. It's an honor to be here, no doubt.
Real quick, and by the way, Alex is a local businessman, too, and we're going to talk about his business because it is pro wrestling. But did you guys ever wrestle each other in the ring? I know you were both in the WWE.
No, you know, I met Brian. Well, actually, I didn't meet him. I saw him in Louisiana in the Mid-South Territory back in the early 80s, 84, 85 or so. And did meet him until actually I got to Florida back in 94, 95, about that time.
That was a great territory. We'd be in, you know, knowing what's happening in Baton Rouge. I live between Shreveport and Baton Rouge in the Mid-South Territory. And it's just
a lot of good wrestling.
I can't imagine. It was a lot of great wrestling, but I can't imagine Baton Rouge being flooded.
Yeah, it's terrible, huh?
It is.
Yeah, no doubt.
But thanks for watching. You know, I guess you got to realize when you're getting old.
Yeah, I think I was probably...
I watched you when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was probably 14 or 15. I got in the business in 87, so yeah. I wasn't far from behind you.
Yeah, that's true. I know you look the part of a wrestler. It's too bad you don't sound like a wrestler.
Oh, well. Okay.
All right, don't put me in a headlock, all right? All right, no, real quick. Now, you now run a wrestling school here?
Yes, sir. It's actually in Winter Park, Pro Wrestling 2.0.
Pro Wrestling 2.0.
That's right.
And you got a place in Winter Park where you train wrestlers. You promote your own shows.
We do a monthly show first Tuesday of each month. Generally, we changed this last show for some international travel for some of the girls coming in. But we have our own facility, a lot of weights and cardio, and we'll get you TV ready and ready to go.
All right. Where do you hold the events?
They're at the training center itself, Winter Park.
Where's it located in Winter Park?
7307 Sands Cove Court, Winter Park, Florida.
That's like right off Goldenrod?
It is, there? Just between Aloma and University. That's right.
And I see you got an event coming up soon called Labor Pains.
Labor Pains, yes, sir.
That remind you of anything there, B. Brian?
Oh, yeah. Anytime you got a wrestling show, you got posters.
Oh, yeah. Labor Pains. So that's going to be around Labor Day weekend?
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
What day, actually?
It is August 30th.
August the 30th,
yes,
okay,
sir.
Which is actually primary election day here. That's Tuesday, right? So you can go
that's
vote.
A good day.
Go vote and then go watch some grappling.
Absolutely.
And
my niece is on the card, Chelsea.
That's Chelsea. That's correct. Yes. She just came in from Japan.
She sure did.
Uh-huh.
I got her booked there.
Good, good.
Is that right? All right.
She's a good girl.
And so these are going to be out of your stable of wrestlers?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, a lot of those guys, some of them come from Devon Dunley's school out in Kissimmee. We've got some from the Team Vision Dojo over out by the airport. That school's been around, you know, several years as well. We've got some talent coming out of Tampa, and a lot of great resources right here in Orlando, Florida, and Tampa with all the boys in town. And it's basically become the capital of pro wrestling here in Orlando, you know, in America.
Well, you know, the WWE's come here with their training facility, too. And that,
correct.
That kind of brings a lot of attention and what they do with the NXT. But this is great wrestling action. These are great matches. You get up really close to the wrestlers, and the wrestlers are all very friendly. Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Sure.
They interact with the audience. And it's a whole lot of fun. And where can people get tickets?
Actually, you know, just right there at the door. Doors open at 7:30. It's $15, and just walk right in, and we'll get you seated.
Do you have a website or anything where people can visit?
We don't actually. We're just all over the social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So Pro Wrestling 2.0.
Pro Wrestling 2.0 on Facebook, friends.
Yes, sir.
All right, Pro Wrestling 2.0. And Dr. K.
Well, I was just looking at that. The UCF starts next week. I'm a professor out at UCF, and I'm teaching on Tuesday night, and it might not be a bad thing to offer some extra credit to get some of the students to come out and watch some wrestling, because I love wrestling.
Absolutely.
And that way, because our class usually goes until 8:50, so if we could leave and spend an hour there, I'll bring them over, sure. Give them class credit. That could be fun.
Yeah,
you wouldn't mind that, would you?
No, sir, not at all. Man. Love to have you. We put on a good product.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, another reason why I say politics is like professional wrestling is because you're dealing with this psychological interplay.
Oh, yeah.
The good versus evil world, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. That's what makes it all work. I mean, you guys, that's part of professional wrestling is you have the baby faces and the heels, the good guys and the bad guys, right?
That's right.
Yep. And go ahead, Brian.
No, yeah, absolutely. And it looks to me like Jeff's got a tremendous card here.
All right, Alex.
Alex, you
wrestled in the WWE. Are you seeing more and more interest amongst people to become professional wrestlers?
Well, it's definitely tougher now. Back in the day, you had several different places to go. Now it's either WWE or TNA, which these guys are backed up on their checks for 5 weeks out there, or it's Japan. And those tours come sporadically. You can't make a strong living on that either unless you've got a very strong spot there and you're making some serious money. Other than that, it's a hobby. Just like trying to be a guitar player or an actor. You got to start somewhere and give it all you got. It's got to be 100% of your life.
Or a radio talk show host, right? Yeah. Nostradamus. you got to get in there. You got to get in the ring, though, to find out if that's where you want to be, right?
That's right. That's right.
And but are you seeing a growing interest of people doing it just as a, as you put it, a hobby?
It's definitely not anything enormous as far as something like baseball or basketball or football. There's a percentage out there of guys that are, and girls more so now than ever, that are really coming around. So the key is finding the place to train right, and breaking the business as opposed to the way some of these kids have been brought in the backyard wrestling. And it's soured the business.
Got any need for managers?
We've got a couple of them, but we could always use a third. Yes, sir.
I'd love to do that. God, I always picture myself like that.
You'd be a good one, too.
It could be fun.
All right. Yeah, we could find it.
Here comes Johnny. Champion Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. You better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson. Don't mess with Johnny B. Bad.
What'd you think about that, B. Brian?
I like it. I like it. That's Johnny B.
Johnny B. Johnny B. Bad. Of course, Mark Marrow was on the show with us just about a week or so ago. He just had open heart surgery about 3.5-4 weeks ago, and he looks great.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. You know Mark?
I do. Yes, sir, I do. Don't know if you guys heard, his brother was in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, I did not
He's
know that.
He's in bad, bad shape. They just flew him into Atlanta at the burn unit.
Oh, no. I didn't. That must have just happened.
Just the last day or so.
Oh, boy. Our prayers will go out to
Absolutely.
Mark and his brother and his whole family. That's
right. They're good people.
Yeah, and he was in such good spirits, too. Mm-hmm. he does these anti-bullying, anti-drug use presentations at schools all over the country. He's actually been in a couple of the different, all over our country, and he's actually been in a couple of other different countries But, yeah, Dr. K, he just had open heart surgery, and the man is looking like he's never felt better.
Yeah. Well, that tends to happen after you have the surgery, because you don't notice the blockages as it builds up in your body, because you just get accustomed to it.
Well,
the body accommodates to it. And all of a sudden now the heart's pumping at its maximum efficiency again. You have all this energy, all this, like, oh my gosh, a vitality comes back. It's amazing.
Well, that was just it. In his case, he didn't have he was missing a valve.
Okay.
Can you guys imagine that he was wrestling basically with sort of two thirds of a heart?
Yeah.
If you will.
Wow.
And they put in a basically a valve from a pig into his heart.
Yeah. Pig valve.
Yeah. And so he's, and I'm sorry to hear that though. But you know, you guys wrestled, as I said, quite a while, each professionally. You still, both of you are still involved in professional wrestling. What was your favorite moment as a professional wrestler? What was that moment? Is there any moment that you look back on and say, man, I wish I could go back to that moment or something?
WrestleMania 3. Yeah. Just to look at 90 something thousand people indoors. And
that was in the Pontiac Silverdome.
Being a pair of modified underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's millions more watching.
Yeah. On TV. I imagine that, as we were saying, the energy from the crowd must have been intense.
Oh, it was amazing. I went up to the top and I thought, why would anybody buy a ticket to this event? Because you're not going to be able to see the guys' faces.
Right, right.
But the energy was off the chart. Yeah. I mean, it was
indescribable. You've got to love that. When the crowd can feed you that much energy, you can't help but put on a great show.
Oh,
and I think
amazing.
That's what makes those shows what they are.
Yeah.
You know, we did a show down in Beckley, West Virginia, in the Armory. I don't know if you guys ever played there or not, but it was amazing. The place was packed, and I think it held maybe 6,000 people total when you put them in there with a shoehorn. And we had Corporal Kirshner, the Iron Sheik, Cousin Junior, Moondog Spot.
Yeah.
And the two ladies standing on the corner right at the ring. You could tell they were related because they both had the same hair curlers in. And they were so animated throughout the whole night. It was just beautiful to watch. But the performers, you know, the wrestlers got in there and they wanted to do such a good show. Everyone extended their time. I mean, we couldn't keep it on track because everybody was having such a great time. And we couldn't blame them because we were all thrilled.
Sure.
They put on one heck of a show. I just loved it.
It's exciting.
I actually had a video production company. I used to film for you guys.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so that's what we were down there doing.
Sure.
What about you, Alex? You got a special moment?
I would have to say 1996, doing Monday Night Raw in Berlin.
Okay.
We actually opened up a show there, and it was just an honor to be a part of that production. You know, WWE is just top of the line, everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would have to say that. I've had many, many big moments, Japan and working in the Madison Square Garden, but Raw in Berlin was really special.
Yeah. I tell you, I've loved it my whole life. I grew up in Pittsburgh. You know, my aunt.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, she rented the top floor of Bruno Sammartino's house.
I remember flying to the Coriopolis Airport.
Yeah.
And into the airport in Coriopolis.
Yeah. And so it's been ever since I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, you know, Chief White Owl. I remember when he used to wrestle. I mean, this is.
Oh, that's before my time.
George Steele, you know, the Animal.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, the wrestling, I can go back. So I'm not a new guy to this event here. I really enjoy it. It's been part of my life.
That's great.
By the way, just sort of a bit of a sidetrack here. Did you see where the first American woman to win a gold medal in wrestling just happened at the Olympics?
Yeah, that's amazing. I was watching. I've amateur wrestled since junior high. It's junior high school when I was there, but it's called middle school now.
Right.
So all the way through college, and I just, to see women compete like that, I mean, it's amazing. Mm. And to win a gold medal, to see an American woman win a gold medal in wrestling is a great for our country. And great for women in general.
Yeah.
Well, B or Alex, do you guys know Kurt Angle?
Of course.
Well? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got the privilege of sitting next to him. We were flying from Orlando to Pittsburgh, you know, because I'm doing a lot of things up in Pittsburgh, flying back and forth. And, you know, we got to talking, and, you know, he has a food company now that he does as well as with the wrestling stuff. He's just an all-around good guy, but he's a gold medal winner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he was looking for somebody that could refinish his metal because he's taken it out and shown it and done so many talks with it that, you know, it's starting to wear in certain areas. So I gave him a friend of mine. It's a jeweler up in Pittsburgh to be able to do that with.
Nice.
But you meet some great people, you know. You really do. A lot of fun.
How about the Olympian that just had to pay off $11,000?
Of a swimmer?
The swimmer.
It was just leverage to get out of the country.
That's what it was. Exactly.
Wow. That's heavy.
That's heavy. It is heavy.
It is.
It wasn't ransom. It was leverage.
Well, as I said on yesterday's show, nothing good happens after midnight. You want to be at home by midnight, right?
That's right.
Yep. Alex, you said that a lot of women are coming to your training facility.
Well, you know, actually, we have a couple of girls in training, but for the most part, for the show, we do have a ladies' world title battle royal August 30th. So,
is that right?
Yes, sir. We've got about 12, 15 girls in it.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic. Yes. And once again, this is Pro Wrestling 2.0. You can find them on Facebook and Twitter, you said? Pro
yes,
Wrestling 2.0.
That's right.
And they've got this event. It's coming up right here in Winter Park, right out there off Goldenrod Road on August the 30th.
That's correct.
And that's a Tuesday. And it's called Labor Pains. And it's going to have a women's battle royale. It'd be worth going just for that, right?
That's right. We've got lots of great talent on there. Lince Dorado, which is with WWE Cruiserweights right now. And we've got Sammy Callahan. He's a big international superstar. Jason Cade out of Evolve Wrestling. We've got the Team Vision Dojo tournament eight-way match. So should be a strong card.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And Dr. K, you say you want to be a manager for get involved.
I could be a manager in professional wrestling. I really could.
I've seen somewhere Nostra Dennis in a referee's uniform somewhere before. Haven't I?
The referees don't have a clue. I think I could do very well there.
Actually, the referee plays a pretty important role, doesn't he?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, do you train referees? Is
yes,
that
sir.
Part of what goes on over there at the
Absolutely.
Center?
Absolutely.
Oh, that was one of the things that happened down in the Armory. Those two ladies I mentioned earlier, when Moondog spotted, he had that bone he'd hang over the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. and he went to go pick it up, and he'd hide it, and as he was spinning around, they'd jump up there yelling at the referee, "He's got the bone! He's got..." And the referee's going, "What? I can't hear you. What? He got the bone!" And meanwhile, Moondog's in the middle of the ring, beating the heck out of the guy with the bone.
Great fun. And, you know, professional wrestling has been on TV longer than anything else. It's been on TV since TV was invented.
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I mean, it's undergone a bit of an evolution, right? Gorgeous George sort of took it into a new realm, if you will. But it's great entertainment.
And you know what helped really boost a lot? I work in media behind the scenes when I'm not here. What helped boost wrestling a lot was the Nielsen TV meters, because back in the day, everybody watched wrestling, but no one admitted they watched wrestling. So, yeah, I watch PBS. Well, once there are machines that can tell you what you're watching, whew, wrestling way up, whew, PBS way down.
All right. Let's see. We got Craig on the line. Let's take Craig's phone call here. Craig, thanks for being out there this evening. How you doing?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting about wrestling. I can remember watching a black and white when I lived in Pine Hills in like 68.
Oh, yeah. You must have watched championship wrestling from Tampa with Gordon Solie, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was watching along with you on the other side of town, Craig.
Yeah. So I wanted to point out something that I noticed about Russia is the Ukrainian Independence Day is August 24th.
Yep.
And supposedly something's going on. Russia has like 40,000 troops at the border. They're very, very concerned about NATO. And we all should be very, very concerned about NATO ourselves, because Turkey has basically, in a roundabout way, taken over NATO, I think.
Well, Turkey is obviously, with the recent coup and everything, and the martial law, in essence, that they have imposed over there, they've created their own bit of chaos. You're right. The Russians are mobilizing troops once again on the border with Ukraine. And you're right, the holiday is coming up. And you're also right that NATO is in a weakened position right now, mainly because of lack of leadership from the United States.
But, remember, always call the Democrat Party the Islamic Democrat Party, because that is what they are.
Well, that's what they seem to have become anyway, that's for sure. Wasn't that way back when we were watching championship wrestling from Florida, but it is seems to be that way now. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it. Good call. We got smart audience. There's no question about that. And, the news did break overnight that the Russians are mobilizing a lot of troops once again and tanks. So we shall see. As I said, the United States has not been providing the leadership in the world that it traditionally, at least since World War II, has, and the world is suffering as a result of it.
Absolutely. We just pay the money.
We just give them the leverage, right? Yeah. But he mentioned watching wrestling here on Black and White TV, and it was Gordon Solie, Florida Championship Wrestling. And as you said, you know, back in the day, there were a lot of federations. There were a number of different ways that a wrestler could break into the pro business. But since McMahon consolidated the business, and even, you know, Ted Turner being out and everything, they really are more limited. But people still seem to want to become professional wrestlers. What do you think it is? Alex, is there any common thing that they tell you when they come and say, I want to be a wrestler, here's why?
Well, it's not for everyone, and they find that out in time.
They think they want to be until they get into the
absolutely.
Ring.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a tough ball game.
Right.
It's a young man's game, you know.
Yeah. Or woman's, yeah.
Anything after 30 is considered WWE. I mean, they're looking for guys for longevity. So, you know, you start 19, 20 years old, you've got something going there. But a lot of these guys come in 28, 29, and it takes a good 5-6 years to really learn this business.
That's true.
And
that means working every night.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, these guys will be, how long you've been working? Oh, 5-6 years. How many matches you had? 5 or 6.
Right.
That's not working every night, right?
Yeah.
So you got to get the experience. You got to obviously get the training. And was it the Hart family that when a new wrestler wannabe would come in, he would kind of torture them a bit to make sure that they really wanted to do it? Do you do anything like
Absolutely.
That? Do you put them through a rigorous welcoming ceremony, if you will?
Well, not really. I'm not too hard on the guys. I've lightened up a little bit. I do make sure they're getting their bumps in, and their conditioning. And but I'm not the kind that says, you know, drop down and give me 200 push-ups or sissy squats. When we get in the ring, I'll tater you a little bit and level it out that way sometimes.
What's tatering it?
Just lay it in.
I got you. All right. Once again, that's Pro Wrestling 2.0 right here in Winter Park. You want to be a pro wrestler, go over there and see if you can do it, right?
Absolutely.
But mainly, they got an event coming up, which is going to be great entertainment. And this is great family entertainment. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. And the tickets, you said, are only $15?
That's right, yes, sir.
Ah, man, you can't beat that. And you can go to Facebook and find Pro Wrestling 2.0. You can get the tickets at the door. And it's located in Winter Park, just off Goldenrod Road. What's the address again, real quick, Alex?
7307 Sands Cove Court.
7307 Sands Cove Court. All right.
Is there a phone number?
407-470-3095.
Say that again. I didn't hear that.
407-470-3095. Yeah.
And we'll give that out again before the show is over. Got to take a break, though.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like you were saying, you got to do this as often as you can. Back when I was doing stand-up, you know, the best advice I was ever given was get up on stage 7 nights a week unless you can get up 8. and it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. And there were times I left one club to go to another club just to do shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to keep practicing your craft.
Yeah, you want to get to the point where you don't have to think about it, you just do it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Exactly. That's what you're trying to achieve. Kind of like what we're doing around here. We don't think about what we're going to say. We just say it. Right, Nostradamus?
That's when we get in trouble.
Going to get in trouble, too, if we don't take one more break. And when we come back, we'll finish up the show here tonight with Alex Porto and the Killer Bee. So please stay with us.
We are back here. It's the American Adversaries, 660 AM, 105.5 FM. Dr. Ken here on this side of the desk. We got Christopher Hart. We got B. Brian Blair. We got Alex. Oh, my gosh. We got so many wrestlers here. And, of course, we got No Stress sitting over here.
No, I mean, we
need to get some photos of this. This is awesome.
Oh, we are going to do that.
I'm sitting there with goosebumps.
We're going to do that before we depart out of here. By the way, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in town this week. I think he's still in town tonight. So if you're out there, Hacksaw, USA, USA. Did I hear you guys write a little while ago that, B. Brian, your niece is working in Alex's Federation?
Yes.
And is she going to be wrestling on the 30th?
She is. She just got in from Tokyo from Stardom, wrestling.
Is she going to be in the Battle Royale?
She is. That's right. Yeah, she's one of the, I think we have 12 or 15 girls. She is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you conduct the Battle Royale like, and by the way, during the primary season, I was saying the primaries like the Battle Royale, yep. Right? You start out with a whole group of people and only one person is left standing in the ring.
That's right.
Are you going to have the way that they get eliminated is by being thrown over the top rope?
Well, there's a couple of different ways you can do that. I think we're going to do pinfall, submission, and over the top rope.
Okay. That's a good way.
There you go.
I like that.
So we're going to see a lot of girls flying through the air, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be great. And once again, that's August the 30th. That's a Tuesday coming up here, well, a week from this coming Tuesday. And you can get tickets at the door. If you want to find out more information, go to Pro Wrestling 2.0 on Facebook or Twitter, Pro Wrestling 2.0. Or you can call them at 407-470-3095, 407-470-3095. And if you think you want to be a professional wrestler, or you got that young person in your family that you think maybe professional wrestling is what they should be doing, head them on over there. Get them some training. Maybe they'll find their place in life, right?
Yeah, I know Alex, and Alex will do it right, too. So he's got a great trainer, and he got a great crew. So if you have any glimmer of being a professional wrestler, please go.
Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Means a lot coming from you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth.
Yep. But this isn't for somebody who's let me put it this way. Say somebody is into things like martial arts and MMA and stuff like that. Would this be a good training regimen for that sort of thing, too?
Yeah, it really, really helps to have some kind of athletic background like that. Absolutely. You can come right in and be strong in 6 months if you really go get it. You can be something pretty big, you know, as opposed to coming in with, you know, nothing in your background and having to start over and get in the gym. I mean, these guys that come in with some stuff like that, they succeed fairly quick.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Wow. I'm just excited about this whole thing. This is really nice to have here and to be able to talk about it and realize that it is so popular, you know, and bring this and just keep it going.
Well, you know, and it's popular worldwide. Now, you guys talked about Japan. How many times did you go to Japan?
28 times. And then I've been to over 50 countries.
Did you ever?
Over 6,000 wrestling matches. I've wrestled in every state in America and many, many little cities in every major city.
How many countries?
Over 50.
Over 50 countries?
Wow. Yes.
Wow. When you were in Japan, did you ever do the sumo wrestling thing with one of those G-string things?
No, met him. We met him a couple times, but
yeah.
No.
And you know, the wrestling is actually big in the Middle East, too. In I think it's in the Arab Emirates. They actually have a girl who's wrestling.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, which you would think, you know, that's doesn't fit, but she does. She does.
Put her in the battle royal.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you see where a female athlete from Iran won a medal, won the gold medal in Taekwondo the other day?
No.
And they don't even let the women be in the arena when there are men competing. So, very impressive.
Go figure. So the interest in professional wrestling is worldwide. And once again, like I say, it's something ingrained in the human psyche that professional wrestling taps into, that everybody has it. You know, it's the good versus evil or whatever you want to say, however you want to phrase it. There's just something there that appeals to the human psyche.
There is something for everyone. Whoever watches a wrestling match, especially when you have a card that's really full and diverse, because you have the underdogs,
you know, you've got the undersized people. You've got the people that are really massive. You got the idols, the ones you always want to see win. And you got the guys you always want to see lose. And those are the ones that end up winning. And you go, oh, get them next time. And it keeps you coming back. It is so cool.
Indeed, yeah, it is. Any regrets from either one of you for getting in professional wrestling?
I wouldn't change a thing. I probably would have got an education first. That would have been smart. I went right in at 17 years old and started in Dallas, Texas.
You did at 17?
I was 18. I was in 1987.
Wow. Had you wrestled in high school?
I did. Yes, sir. 4 years in amateur wrestling.
All right. And you watched it on TV and you decided that's what you wanted to do? Is that it?
I was watching Brian Blair in Shreveport Municipal Auditorium, and the Irish McNeil Boys Club did the TV every other week, and Brian and Jim Duggan, as a matter of fact, and Junkyard Dog, Terry Taylor, Kamala.
Oh, yeah.
It was great times back then. I mean, that was a great territory.
It was a great territory.
Wrestling's been a lot of miles. Wrestling's been pretty good to you, too, hadn't it, Brian?
That's been very good to me. I made a lot of money and traveled the world without joining the Navy. Not that that's a bad thing.
Hey.
Love our vets.
I like Dr. K.
But I did have Vince McMahon over me. No, not always as a general, so to speak. Not having a general bark at you all the time or a sergeant.
Right.
But wrestling is great, and it's so diverse, and it's everywhere. And you'd be surprised. I was in Australia on the first WWF tour to Australia, and Los Lobos was there. Jumpin' Jim and I were there with a group called Los Lobos. And then the other guy, I should know right off, this is what happens when you have four concussions. And I don't know how many other brain traumas. I'm trying to – George Thorogood hung out with us. He hung out with us for like 3 days. And he was amazed. We put a chair right next to the ring post inside the barricade for George to sit at.
Is that right?
So we'd go out and party all the time afterwards and have a great time.
He had the perfect name for a group for wrestling, right?
Yeah. The
George
Thorogood
and the Destroyers. Right? Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, this has been a great show, a lot of fun. You guys are going to do this again, but we're out of time for tonight. So, Alex, thanks for being in here. Look forward to seeing the labor pains.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been an honor to be here. Thank you, sir.
B. Brian.
Yes.
Always good to have you, especially when you're live in the studio.
Thank you very much, Chris. If I could say one last quick thing. If you vote for Hillary Clinton, you're aiding and abetting a liar and a crook.
There you go.
Can't say it any better than that.
Nostradamus, always good to have you in the
studio.
Let's go eat.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. K.
Bye.
Night, everybody. Heh